This is Steve Stein, and you're listening to Inside Asia, conversations with Asia's leading movers, shakers, thinkers, and provocateurs. This is our Center Yourself episode, and my guest is Toby Ouvrey, a meditation and mindfulness expert and coach. That's right, a meditation and mindfulness coach. I know what you're thinking. You didn't come here for meditation. You came here to listen to Inside Asia for fresh perspectives on the region. You came for the stories and conversation. Meditation is altogether something else, and I get that. But if you're like millions of others out there, you're stressed out, keeping dozens of balls in the air, never enough time, always coming up short. Sound familiar? Whether you're a corporate executive, an entrepreneur, or a digital nomad, you know what I'm talking about. Shut down at midnight and pick up at 6 a.m. the next morning, I bet most of you check your phone over 500 times a day. It's hard to keep up and keep it all together. You're feeling like it's not just one of those days, it's one of those lives. So tell me, really, who's got time for meditation? Breathe. That's right, just breathe. You're overworked, burnout, and like a lot of people, you're hoping that by doing more, you'll eventually get it done. Well, newsflash, you probably won't. Having a hard time turning off the noise in your head? Hoping there's a pill for it? Well, there is a pill for it, but there may be something better. Meditation might, just might, be exactly what it takes to bring it into perspective. Apparently, there are some pretty reliable sources that think there may be something to it. Last year, Harvard Business Review ran an article on the benefits of meditation and mindfulness for CEOs. It's a practice that produces results, and that's why we wanted to explore it here on Inside Asia. Toby Ouvrey is one of the best in the business when it comes to guiding people through and toward meditation and mindfulness. He spent 5 years as a Buddhist monk within the Tibetan order, a journey that brought him to Singapore, where I spoke with him. He ultimately left the life of a monk, but didn't leave meditation. Instead, he established a practice for laymen looking for relief. Today, he runs mindfulness programs for MBAs at the INSEAD School of Business and helps a wide range of clients that hail from corporations, governments, and NGOs. Meditation has become quite trendy, but Toby has been on this path for a long time, advocating its benefits and guiding people through it. I spoke to him on the second floor of One Heart, a wellness and holistic center in the Shophouse District of Singapore. I started off by asking Toby about the transformative effects he has seen in his work.
First of all, is the community who have already been practicing meditation and mindfulness for a while, and what I brought to that, and then secondly, we'll talk about people who have never done that before and are coming from a much more secular background and thinking, well, I've got to try this because something's got to work, right, at that point. So what I try to bring to the table in terms of people that have been practicing for a while is one of the things that I became aware of in my own evolution as a meditator is that there are some aspects of a traditional meditation training that are genuinely conducive to peace, happiness, harmony, and well-being, and other aspects of consciousness and the issues that we face within ourselves that a traditional training won't touch. So what I've tried to do within my own path, experientially through my own journey, but then what I offer to people in my own training and programs is an integrated approach to training, which is to say it offers the best of the traditional wisdom tradition meditation trainings in conjunction with the insights that have come from contemporary neuroscience, contemporary psychology, contemporary philosophy, which are coming at consciousness development and what it means to be happy, to be effective as a human being, to have positive self-esteem and so forth, that they're coming from a set of different perspectives and trying to answer slightly different issues in terms of how to be happy, how to be balanced, how to operate functionally in an integral way as a human being. So what I try to present is a series of complementary perspectives that are drawing upon traditional meditation practices in conjunction with contemporary perspectives of neuroscience and contemporary psychology.
And you apply that through a workshop setting where you kind of, what I've seen from you is you go through a bit of an explanation and then you practice. You do guided meditation. You bring people through a meditation. And then there's questions or people can explore what you meant by that. How much do you feel, do you look at every individual and to understand whether or not you provide that full explanation? Or some people here just purely experientially, they want to just meditate and go?
A lot of what people want when they come to me is they are already mentally overloaded, informationally overloaded, and stressed out. So what they want is something to help them to calm down, find a little bit of heart space, a little bit of head space, and to find some immediate relief from the imminent stress that they are experiencing. So that is one very important thing that I need to provide for everybody coming to the classes and the workshops and the coaching that I do. So I make sure that everything that I do provides that space for people. But within that context, in terms of people's long-term growth, is providing the building blocks right from the word go that are going to help them to improve their experience incrementally in a way that is sustainable over a long period of time. Which means, again, it comes back to using more than one model of consciousness development, not just a traditional meditation training, not just a psychotherapeutic approach to inner development or shadow work training or anything like this. It's a combination of perspectives, an integral combination of perspectives.
Do you find in this empirical, technology-driven world that we live in that people need to understand the science behind what you do more than they might otherwise if they just kind of explored meditation, organically?
I think when people come to meditation, a lot of people, I mean, it's kind of the same if you think about, you know, a lot of people do what the doctor says. Because why? Because they're the doctor, right? So a lot of people believe what science says. Why? Because it's the science, right? You can't argue with the science, right? So if you start to look a little bit more deeply into science, what science is, I mean, and you discover it's not God, right? It's an experimental process. There are many different branches of science, some of which are empirical, literal empirical, some of which are behavioral. If you really go back to caveman days, you know, or pre times in human evolution that were pre-verbal linguistics, so before the time when you would go to school or you would learn through words and language. Basically, in these pre-verbal linguistics, people were learn through experience. It's like, okay, I'm hungry. There's a fish in the river. How do I catch the fish? You know. So if you don't get the fish, you starve. So I've got to get the fish, but I don't know how to get the fish. So how am I going to do it? So you try leaping into the water, running after the fish and jumping on it, and it escapes you easily. And then you try throwing a sharpened stick at it, and it's way too good for you. You can't get it. So you try all these different methods where you're trying to work out, how do I get the fish? And if I don't, I'm going to starve, right? So I've got to keep trying. So you keep on trying. Experientially, you keep on trying, right? And eventually what you learn is, okay, if I lie by the bank on a little area where I know they hang out, and I wait till one comes underneath me, and then I just very, very gently put my hand in there. I tickle the fish in the belly very, very gently, and then I flip it out of the water. That's how I do it. But I, you know, I had to figure that out because there was an imperative. If I don't, I'm going to starve, right? So that's in early history, that's how we had to function. We had to use our experiential subjective intelligence to problem solve, to meet our problems experientially. We had to figure it out, right?
So then this is one of those lost skill sets because we've been told what to do. We've been given constructs for it, and therefore we're following what's been set out for us instead of just discovering it ourselves.
Yeah. So we're no longer living in the moment, right, in a way that a caveman had to do. We're living out of mental constructs.
Right.
We have maps of the world that have been placed within our mind by our education, and they are useful to a certain extent, but a lot of people basically have confused reality for maps, for mental maps. And basically that this is what happened. So you end up living in your head, basically.
Yeah, so discord. So it's breaking down those kind of those frameworks or those confines and opening it up to the moment and trying to kind of rediscover what it is to feel your own breath, listen for your heartbeat, to be conscious in the moment. Is that right? It's something that you're trying to help people regain this. Is that correct?
Yeah, to be present to yourself in the moment and to be present to the circumstances that you're in observationally. So you're looking at the guy across and you're saying, okay, well, how is this guy actually feeling? Rather than, this is what I want to tell the guy, this is what he should know. It's like, well, if I say that, if I look at his body language, he's probably not going to respond very well in that way. So I won't say that. So it's like your ability to take in the immediate circumstances in the present moment without confusing that for your mental model. and figure out what the best way to proceed is. So with that, you will have your mental models in your head, and you can bring those mental models to the present moment, and some of them might be useful, some of them might not be useful, but the point is you're not confusing these maps for what is immediately in front of you in the present moment. You're integrating the mental models that you have in your head with your experience of reality as you find it. You're not confusing the two, but you are in the moment, you're attentive to your immediate circumstances, you're using your intuitive human intelligence that is fully functional, operational, and then as an adjunct and support to that, you're then using your mind and your mental models and maps to help you to problem solve.
I'm Steve Stein, and my guest is mindfulness and meditation coach Toby Ouvrey. I spoke to him at the One Heart Wellness Center in Singapore. Here's the rest of our conversation.
In order for us, to take a big picture perspective on this initially, and then bring it to a more individual level. Basically, we're at a stage in our human evolution where we have to bring these things together, where we have to bring the ability to function as human beings with ethics and values into the boardroom, and combine that with successful business practices, because we're so powerful that if we don't learn to bring these human elements and these ethical elements into our business practice, then we're going to wreck the world.
Do you think we've passed the point of no return, or do you think there's still hope?
I think there, I have no idea whether there's still hope or not. All I know is that you have to keep on pressing for the evolutionary imperative is the next step that you personally believe is going to be a part of the solution to the problems that are presenting. And in a certain sense, again, for me, it's like, well, if one accepts the fact that we may fail, and if one is at peace with that, then one can go for one's target, which is not to fail, with a certain degree of equanimity and a certain degree of resilience, because yes, we may fail, but nevertheless, even if we were to fail, I'd still be trying to articulate exactly the same growth patterns within people that I meet within society, because that's what are the choices there really.
So this is the big picture objective for you now, is meditation can lend itself to helping people adjust and improve orientation to the world and the way that we conduct ourselves. Is this right?
Yeah, which is a combination of, again, being able to take big picture perspectives, to see the world from kind of global, on a global level, and recognize that we are working in community. At the same time as empowering ourselves as individuals to step out of line where necessary, to move into the unknown, and to take brave steps within our individual business communities, within our cultural communities, to effect the change that we really feel is necessary, to take the chances. And what I'm trying to do is really help people to, where necessary and where appropriate, to be radical.
I think you're hitting on something that's quite interesting, which is there is an imperative here. I mean, the world's moving in a terrifying way. The speed, the technology, the lack of time and consideration for things that should be more important and not and aren't. I'm not making judgments. I'm just making observations. And I look at people and the levels of stress, the pharmaceutical addictions, the outlets with sex and alcohol and everything. Statistically, all around the world, we're in trouble. We're in trouble, right? There's just, you can see it everywhere. So I'm not speaking, I'm not judging that. I'm just saying that we're out of sync. And in some ways, when I listen to, what you've discussed with meditation in the past, it leaves you feeling that maybe there's a different path, but it starts in the moment. And it starts with the practice And I think this is what you're trying to do, but everyone, because we're all kind of like outcome oriented and we want to know, you know, what's the result of our efforts. I guess I'm asking the wrong question, but at the same time, I do and would encourage others to explore meditation because I think it's an interesting alternative to the other devices that might be available to us.
All right. So I think, you know, one of the things that we're looking for as an outcome to meditation and mindfulness practice is basically it's about, well, how successfully are you able to deal with this moment? Because we're talking about global problems, big picture stuff, but the beginning to the solution of that is for each one of us in each moment is that, well, how successfully have I dealt with this moment? This set of emotions that I'm feeling, this set of anxieties, this set of relational challenges, all of that. So the first step for each of us, and that step is taken anew in each moment toward a global solution is, well, how well have I actually managed this moment?
Yeah, it's right? Perfect. Yeah, that's right.
So what you're looking for is the outcome you're looking for as a meditator is say, okay, well, here I am and I'm feeling the stress of the global situation because I'm a concerned citizen, right? And I'm sitting in the room with Steve and I'm thinking about this. Well, okay, so there is all this danger and risk that seems to be appearing to me as we're bringing up this conversation. But at the same time and concurrently with that, there is the reality that we've never been safer, right?
Yeah.
So in Singapore and in large parts of the world, the fact is, you know, we've never been safer. We've never been more prosperous. We've never been, our health levels have never been better, right? So, and in this moment in Singapore, as long as I look both ways when I cross the road, I'm really under no imminent risk to my health and well-being, right? So one way that successfully dealing with the huge meta risks and dangers that we're facing in our daily life and in our conceptual world is to simply recognize in this moment, I'm safe.
And this is the moment-to-moment piece, and almost a little tiny little reminders that accompanied by breath work that allows us to kind of recenter and realize in the greater scheme of things, we're okay.
In the greater scheme of things, we're okay, or in this moment, I'm okay. Yeah. And if I recognize and I'm able to rest in a state of equilibrium and recognition of safety in the present moment, the likelihood of me doing something constructive in that moment is increased.
Interesting. Okay. Because in some of this literature that they're coming out with, they talk about meditation can offer you greater focus, greater clarity. It can help you kind of adjust and perform better. These are all words used in leadership consulting. And yet I'm seeing, you know, a lot of the literature now being reflected when they talk about meditation. You know, these are the outcomes. I'm just curious how you feel about that. Are you cynical about this language? Or are these accurate ways and fair ways of expressing the benefits of meditation to people who live busy lives?
I think, you know, that life is a dance between the experience of being and doing, right? So when you talk about meditation, the doing aspect of it is outcome, is focusing on outcome. And it's perfectly justifiable to be interested in the potential outcomes of a meditation practice. The thing about, one of the things about meditation is that it is primarily a being-oriented activity. So, and again, if you're looking for an outcome, and I'm saying to be focused on outcomes is not wrong or right. It can move into imbalance. You could be too focused on outcomes. And I think in general, people are too focused on outcomes rather than processes. So I think that needs to be rebalanced, you know, where people could be more interested in processes and enjoying processes, which is actually complementary to achieving a good outcome. Because you can go to the other extreme. There are quite a number of people, who are meditators or who are simply not very effective people who are too process focused. You know, it's like spend the whole morning making a cup of tea and wondering about which type of tea to have, or should I have milk with it, or, you know, da da da. Right. So that you can go too far the other way too. You can become too process focused. So you're really looking at, you know, again, creating a balanced harmonic between your doing and being. Right, who you are and what you do. And again, within a company or within any organization, you want that balance. You want a balance between who you are and what your goals are, what the outcomes you're focused on are. You know, so there's always that kind of dance between those two. And again, I think as a major outcome that one is focused on in meditation, what I'm trying to communicate to people is if you are truly entering into the present moment and practicing mindful awareness and attention and getting that your equilibrium within the present moment right, the likelihood of you doing something creative, intelligent, wise, and positive in that moment is increased. So you accomplish your outcomes by focusing upon this moment, which is your processes in each moment.
I'm Steve Stein, and that was my conversation with mindfulness and meditation coach Toby Ouvrie. For our other episodes and for more info about Toby and the One Heart Center in Singapore, head to www.insideasiapodcast.com. Feel free to join the conversation. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. Leave us a review on iTunes and tell us your story. How's meditation changed your life? How do you work it into your schedule? What tips can you share with our listeners? Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Steve Stein saying, come in from the outside on Inside Asia.